When you think about your salvation, beloved, there's only one direction you can go with your thanksgiving, and that's toward God. He chose us in Christ before the world was made. So it's all of His will. It's all of His purpose. It has nothing to do with us, and it's all for His glory.
Welcome to Grace to You with John MacArthur. I'm your host, Phil Johnson. It's an age-old question. When you become a Christian, is it because you chose Christ or because Christ chose you? How much depends on you and how much depends on God where your salvation is concerned? Well, if you have questions about the doctrine of election, you're not alone. But today's broadcast may help clear them up as John continues one of his best-known studies, one that helps you understand what it truly means to be saved. The series is titled The Gospel According to Jesus. And before the lesson, John, just yesterday, the staff at Grace to You came back after the holidays, and while we were gone, more than a few pieces of mail poured into our office. John, I know those stacks of mail are always encouraging to you and to our staff. They represent so many people who love God's truth, so many people who have become partners with us in ministry.
Yeah, it's sort of like our post-Christmas Christmas.
It is.
When
it
we
is.
Come in and we unwrap all the mail. And the first thing that always strikes us is the very, very generous giving that people have done at the year end. No matter what we might anticipate, it always seems like it exceeds what we anticipate. And it launches us into the new year with hopes that we can do everything that the Lord has laid upon our hearts. And then obviously it's the letters, the cards, the emails, the notes from people along with the gifts that tell us how much this ministry has meant to their lives.
Yeah, each one of those represents a life. I recently had a conversation with you in which you said that somebody asked you, what do people normally say to you when they meet you, listeners to the radio broadcast? And you said the first thing they say is, feel like we know you.
Yeah, that is the very common phrase. I feel like I know you. And I always respond the same way. Well, you do. There's really nothing more to know. The best thing you could know about me is my love for the Word of God. But I think they do know me because there's not just the teaching of the Word of God, but I hope they hear it as the passion of my heart,
right?
The intensity of my heart. And I think that's what defines me, and I love it when people recognize that. And they show their love for the truth, typically at the year end. We know the people that give to this ministry love the Word of God, written and incarnate. We know they believe in its power to transform lives. We know they believe in the Great Commission to take it to the ends of the earth. We know they depend on the nourishment from the Word of God that we provide for them. And they identify with our mission of unleashing God's truth one verse at a time. And that's why they give. And again, the generosity has frankly been staggering, an amazing outpouring of love and trust from the people of God. And it's not only an expression of love, it's kind of a mandate for us to continue doing what we're doing. You know, you're saying, keep it up, and you've done well, and we want you to keep the Word of God coming. So thank you so much for your investment in this work. Stay with us in your prayers. Be a regular in listening and growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Be effective in your Christian life, both in your church and the world around you. And may the Lord give you the greatest year ever in His grace.
Absolutely. And again, friend, from all of us at Grace to You, thank you. Your generosity, your partnership with us is going to help us take verse-by-verse Bible teaching to God's people all over the world in 2019. And now to begin today's lesson, here's John looking at the gospel according to Jesus.
Ephesians chapter 1, and I invite you to turn there in your Bible, if you will. Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to read in your hearing verses 3 through 14. This great paean of praise from the heart of the Apostle Paul is not a cool documentation of some theological argument. It is the passion and overflow of his own thankful heart. It appears in the original as if there's no break at all. And while some of the translators have chosen to put commas and periods, it doesn't seem in the original that there's any stopping point from verse 3 through 14. He just continues to allow his heart under the inspiration of the Spirit of God to gush out praise for the God who has saved him. And as I read it in your hearing, would you listen for those things which assign our salvation wholly to God? Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. What dominates this wonderful section of Scripture is the idea that God has brought about salvation by His own will and His own purpose and His own design and to the praise of His own glory. In verses 5, 9, and 11, salvation is ascribed to His will. In verses 6 and 7, it is ascribed to His grace. Again in verse 7, to His blood. In verse 4, to His love. In verse 9, to His good intention. In verse 11, to His purpose. And in verses 12 and 14, to the praise of His glory. Every aspect of salvation is the work of God, but you will notice here that that work is mediated through Christ. In verse 4, it says it is in Him, meaning Christ. In verse 5, it says it is through Jesus Christ. In verse 6, it says it is in the Beloved One, meaning Christ. In verse 7, in Him, meaning Christ. In verse 9, purposed in Him, meaning Christ. In verses 10 and 11, in Him, referring to Christ. In verse 12, in Christ. In verse 13, twice, in Him, again referring to Christ. Our salvation is solely and only and wholly the work of God, but through Christ it is wrought, and also with the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 notes that we have been sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, the guarantee of the full and future redemption of God's own possession. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are given all the credit for salvation. And thus theirs is all the praise. Let me remind you that every element in salvation is the work of God. And let me remind you by using the words of the Holy Spirit-inspired writer Paul. First of all, would you notice verse 3? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Paul is there saying the one deserving all the credit is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. This is praise to God, praise ascribed to God the Father for what he has done. And what has he done? Number one, he chose us. Look at verse 4. He chose us to be made holy in Christ. He chose us to become blameless in Christ. Secondly, he predestined us, verse 5. It says it. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. His will, his intention, his purpose determined our destiny. That's what predestined means. God in eternity past chose you for a destiny, and that destiny was to become his child. Now, to make that possible, we come to a third reality here. He graced us. He graced us. The plan, the choice, the predestination was activated in reality through his grace. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved one who is Christ. Fourthly, notice what he did. He redeemed us. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood. He redeemed us. What does it mean to redeem? To buy back. What did he do to buy us? Well, we were slaves to sin. We were slaves to death and hell and Satan and demons. We were slaves to the fallen flesh. We were slaves to the world. And there we were in the slave market. And he came to the slave market and he bought us. Worthless, wretched, vile, rotten, darkened, hopeless, with minds that could never know God and hearts that could never seek righteousness. And all our desire was lust and evil, and we were unworthy. And he came and bought us. Why? Because he chose us, because he predestined us, because he was wanting to grace us with grace. You say, why did he want to do that? I don't know. He just did. That was his will, that was his purpose, that was his good pleasure. How did he redeem us? Through his blood, he paid the price. The wages of sin is death. The price of redemption is death. The price of redemption is shed blood, and he paid that price. It was not easy to pay that price. He had to take on human form, come into the world, die on a cross, pour out his blood as a sacrifice for sin, but he paid the price to buy us back. That's why the blood of Christ is precious. That's why Peter says, you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Sure, it's precious. It's also praiseworthy. That's why in Revelation 5, it says, and they sang a new song, worthy art thou to take the book and break its seals, for thou wast slain and did purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. No wonder the hosts of heaven are praising him. His blood is precious. His blood is praiseworthy. It was the price of our redemption. It was the shedding of blood and sacrificial death that allowed Christ to buy us out of sin's slave market and bring us into his holy presence, and no longer are we the slaves of sin, we are the slaves of God. And that redemptive work made it possible for him to do something else. Once he had bought us out of the slave market, fifthly, Paul says, he forgave us. Oh, blessing. Verse 7, he provided the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. He forgave us. He bought us out of the slave market, not to say, well, I'm going to hold all that against you. I've done you a big favor, but don't think you're going to get away with anything in the future. No, no, no. He bought us out of the slave market and forgave us. Jesus, at the time when he was instituting his table in Matthew 26, 28, said, this is my blood of the New Testament, when he held up the cup, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. He forgave us. Forgiveness, aphia me, to send away, never to return. He removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. He buried them in the depths of the sea. He remembers them no more. No wonder Micah says, who is a pardoning God like you? Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Ephesians 4:32, Colossians 2:13 says, we are forgiven. 1 John 2:12, my little children, he has forgiven all your sins for his name's sake. How could he do that? Through his grace, through the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. It took a lot of grace, a lot of grace, because we had a lot of sin. In fact, according to the parable of Matthew 18, we have an unpayable debt, almost an uncountable debt, an indescribable debt. To whom do you owe your salvation? You owe it to the God who chose you. You owe it to the God who predestined you. You owe it to the God who redeemed you. The God who forgave you, the God who wanted you to be his own because he wanted you to be his own and doesn't give any other reason, even though we're so unworthy, so unworthy. And now he has even gone beyond that. Now that we are his children, he enlightened us. He enlightened us. Look at verse 8 and following. In the middle of the verse, it says, in all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. He even gave us a view of an administration suitable to the fullness of times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. Can you imagine that? He told us all about his will, clear on out to eternity. We know all about the administration of the fullness of times, the summing up of all things in Christ, the glory to come, the millennium, the eternal state, how everything in heaven and everything in earth will be brought together in Christ to his praise. He enlightened us. He gave us wisdom in eternal things. He gave us prudence in earthly things. And he showed us his plan all the way to the end in the Word. He let us in on the whole thing. He gave us not only the Word, but he gave us a resident truth teacher. He gave us his Holy Spirit so that we don't need men to teach us because we have a teacher from God. He gave us his Spirit so that we know the mind of Christ, so that we know the plan of God. How blessed we are. How absolutely blessed we are. The things that the world doesn't see, we see. The things that the world doesn't understand, we understand. The things that the world can't know, we know. For we have received not the spirit of the world, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:12, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Isn't it wonderful? He enlightened us. We were blinded by the God of this world. We were in darkness and sin and death and could not know God or anything about him, could not understand him. And he enlightened us. He enlightened us. Why did he do that? He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him because he wanted to. It was his plan, his pleasure, his joy that we would know him and all about his plan. Seventhly, he promised us an inheritance. Verse 11, in him, the end of verse 10, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And he repeats that it all belongs to God. The will was God's, the purpose was God's, the good intention was God's, and the glory is God's. And he gave us an inheritance because he predestined us to be his children, and his children were to receive his inheritance. He promised us an inheritance. Romans 8 says that the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be ours. And 1 John, it says in chapter 3, verse 2, it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know we shall be like him when we see him as he is. And then Peter says we have an inheritance undefiled, incorruptible, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for us. Every promise in Christ, Paul said, 2 Corinthians 1:20, is yes. What did he mean by that? That everything Jesus promised to us is yes. Do we get that? Yes. Do we get that? Yes. Do we get that? Yes. Peace, yes. Love, yes. Wisdom, yes. Eternal life, yes. Joy, yes. Victory, yes. Strength, yes. Power, yes. Knowledge, yes. Righteousness, yes. Eternal life, yes. Truth, yes. Heaven, yes. Riches, yes. Reigning, yes. Ruling, yes. It's all yes. Why? Because he wanted to. His purpose, his will, his grace did it all. So he gets all the glory. And how secure is your inheritance? Eighth, notice, he sealed us. Verse 13, in him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge or a guarantee of our inheritance, with a view looking forward to the redemption of God's own possession, that's us, to the praise of his glory. He sealed us. Sealing something in ancient times was a sign of ownership, sign of security, a sign of authenticity, and a sign of a completed transaction. When we are saved, he sealed us. How? Gave us his Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwelling in a believer is a sign that God owns that believer, a sign that that believer is secure, a sign that that believer is authentic, a sign that that believer has received the completed transaction. He secures us, authenticates us, completes us, and owns us. We are his own possession, verse 14 says. And the indwelling Spirit is the guarantee that someday we'll experience the fullness of what that means. Marvelous. We wait for the full redemption, Romans 8 says, but we're sealed until that day. Now listen carefully. Let me draw this together for you. When you think about your salvation, beloved, there's only one direction you can go with your thanksgiving, and that's toward God. He chose us in Christ before the world was made. So it's all of his will. It's all of his purpose. It has nothing to do with us, and it's all for his glory. He then predestined us through Christ purely on the basis of his love for his own good pleasure, based solely on his will to make us his children for his glory. And then he graced us, which means there was no merit on our part. It wasn't 99% God and 1% us. It wasn't 99.9% God and 0.1% us. It was all God and none of us. It was freely given, he says, freely given. And that brings all the praise and all the glory to him. He redeemed us. That is, he provided for and paid the price for our sins and granted to us freedom from bondage in sin and death according to the riches of his unmerited grace, which gives him all the glory. And then he forgave us. Having paid the price, he then freely forgave us all our sins based on nothing which we had done. Again, giving himself all the glory and all the praise. Then he enlightened us. He revealed his will to us, which we would otherwise never have known nor ever been able to discover. All the glory for his self-disclosure then belongs to him. And then he gave us an inheritance which we could not earn, so that all the praise is his. He gave it because he predestined us for it, because he purposed us for it, because he willed it for us. And then he sealed us. He provided security. If it weren't for that, we'd default. We'd fail. But he secures us. And so all the praise is his. So what about us? Don't we do anything? We just stand around till he does it? Notice, please, verses 12 and 13. Two things are mentioned, and only two, and almost offhandedly. It says in verse 12 that we were the first to hope in Christ. And in verse 13, it says, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed. Hope in Christ, believing the gospel. That's our part. Well, you say, no, wait a minute. You just said that it was all God. Well, that's our response to the work of God. But listen carefully. Even that is generated by God. Even that is generated by God. For by grace are you saved through faith. Even that is not of yourselves, but it is the what? Gift of God. It is God who gives you the power to hope in Christ. It is God who opens your ears to hear the message of the truth, to hear the gospel of salvation and believe. That too is a gift. It's all of Him. It's all energized by the Holy Spirit. You can't hope in Christ without the Holy Spirit generating that hope. You can't believe in Christ without the Holy Spirit generating that faith. So, for what part of our salvation do we deserve praise? None. Absolutely none. Absolutely none. The whole human race on its way to hell. And they will be damned to hell because of unbelief. They are condemned, Jesus said in John 3, because they believe not. But God in sovereign grace has chosen to save those He has set His love upon. And He picks them up out of the stream of men cascading into hell. What a blessed truth. What a humbling truth. What a pride-smashing truth. We are all saved by His grace. Can we thank Him enough? Why us? Why us? No wonder verse 3 says what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The blessing belongs to Him. The glory belongs to Him. The praise belongs to Him.
That's Grace to You with John MacArthur. Today he continued his current study, The Gospel According to Jesus. And now, turning the corner a bit, a reminder that even though we're already a few days into 2019, this is still a great time to build a habit of regular Bible reading all year. The MacArthur Daily Bible can help you with that. So order the Daily Bible when you contact us today. Call toll-free 800-55-GRACE or go to our website, gty.org. The MacArthur Daily Bible will take you verse by verse through the entire Bible in a year's time. Each day it gives you a measured portion of Scripture to read from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, and from the Psalms and Proverbs. Plus, it includes notes from John to help you get more out of God's Word. Again, to order the Daily Bible, call 800-55-GRACE or go to our website, gty.org. And if you'd like to download all 6 lessons of our current study, The Gospel According to Jesus, to your smartphone or your tablet, those sermons are free of charge at gty.org. In fact, all of John's sermons, more than 3,400 of them total, they're all there available for free. So to listen to or download or read the transcripts of any of John's sermons, go to gty.org. And now for John MacArthur and the staff here at Grace to You, I'm Phil Johnson, thanking you for tuning in today. And come back tomorrow. John's going to show you one component that every gospel presentation must have. See what it is when John continues his study, The Gospel According to Jesus. Be here Friday as we continue celebrating 50 years of unleashing God's truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You.